Good morning.
Good morning.
I am glad to see all the people that I know and love here, and some new faces as well. This morning, I'm going to speak about forgiveness and the process for me, as well as for, I believe, something that we strive for with the Spirit of God in everyday struggles and everyday triumphs. So I will start out with Samuel. And he killed an Egyptian, an impressive man. Now the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a club and snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Judah, did and had the name as well as the three mighty men. You know, to me, we know and we live in the spirit of forgiveness and nonviolence. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about together is that forgiveness is a process. It's not only a process, it's a revelation. And it's something that I believe brings us closer to the spirit inside of us. But it also brings a challenge. So I wanted to read some today and also to talk about my own journey. And I know that there are some of us that want to go downstairs to the more interesting parts of our playroom. So I'd like to excuse any children that are here or any adults who'd like to go play. So part of it is that I feel for me, forgiveness has changed my life. Partially, anybody who grows up in a difficult family, whether it's alcohol, drugs, rage, sorrow, grief, has at some point has to forgive our families of origin. Even if we live in wonderful places, there are places that are rough when we are growing up. Our self-doubt, our wish to find something bigger than ourselves. And then sometimes we have to forgive. We are not faced with any other choice. To go on with our lives is a path of forgiveness and revelation. So part of it is that Samuel says to me that honor is a part of forgiveness, and the honor for ourselves, and the honor for our spirits, and the honor for God. So I want to just say that he was honored among the 30, but he did not attain to the three, and David appointed him over his guard. And to guard our hearts and to guard our spirits, we walk a path of both repentance and forgiveness, because we do not always find the light within ourselves, and sometimes we lose our way. And perhaps the most important part of where we find the Lord is obviously inside of ourselves as Quakers. So I thought about this a long time and felt like I've been given a chance to share with you some of my own personal journey. So in Psalms you said, O God, is it thou who dost know my folly, and my wrongs are not hidden from thee? May those who wait for thee not be ashamed through me, O land, O Lord, God of hosts. May those who seek thee not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, dishonor has covered my face, and I have become estranged from my brothers and alien to my mother's son. For zeal for thy house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach thee have fallen on me. When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate talk about me, that I am the song of the drunkard. But as for me, my prayers to thee, O Lord, at the acceptable time, O God, in the greatness of thy loving kindness, answer me with thy saving truth. And to feel that saving truth is a place that relights me, reignites my faith. To see what we have to face every day with the threat of war, the threat of being thrown out of a country that has become our home, being thrown out of our house where we have lived for a long time. All of these things are challenges. And one of the things that for me has been to listen, if you listen, whether it's to gossip, to falseness, you have to listen with your heart to truth. Deliver me from the mire and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me, and may the deep not swallow me up, and may the pit not shut its mouth on me. I suffer from severe depression from the time I was a very small child. So the darkness is a place that I am more than familiar with. But to find light in that darkness has always been a blessing, that the darkness is not absolute. And every, whether it's heroine or hero that we value, has been in darkness and found something beyond themselves. And when I look at the people that I look up to, all of them have worked and struggled and risen because of forgiveness and because of repentance. But none of it has been easy. And I know as we pray for people with their sickness, that we open our hearts to realize that forgiveness is not just us looking and dismissing anything that our enemies may do. It is embracing our enemies and knowing that somewhere they also have light. God, hasten to deliver me, O Lord, hasten to my help. Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. So if we look at Matthew did not have an easy time of it. And many of us can look at the Bible and say, okay, it's been a bad day or a week, but nothing compared to some of these things. And when I think of slavery, I think of slavery of the soul. And that for me, as a person of color, forgiveness has to span decades and maybe hundreds of years. Whether we have been brought over to Ellis Island or a slave block, or fleeing for our lives in a country that does not believe in our faith. We all know what it's like to be reproached and reviled. But there is some place that forgiveness, when we look at Oakland, will not stand for hate. Berkeley will not stand for hate. We welcome Muslims. We welcome our neighbors. It is the world that is our neighbors. It is not just our small country, and we have to look on forgiveness in a much larger sense, especially considering who we have as president. I am troubled daily when I listen to the news that we are walking backwards, that we are walking into some unknown territory, that our leaders perhaps have lost their way. But it is our work and our duty to extend ourselves beyond that. And when we see leadership as darkness, our repentance, our forgiveness, our light has to outshine anything that is there blocking the way. When the situations happened with the schools and Florida and Columbine and our children and teachers lose their lives, it is not just about that one person that walks into that school and commits chaos. It is about all of us rising up and saying this sort of violence is a symptom, and that forgiveness is the first step of going beyond that symptom to the healing. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. And when I pray for those teachers, because I think our teachers are mighty warriors, I think that they must feel our forgiveness and our love from thousands of miles away. Because it is not just the fire of a gun. It is a fire of darkness that we have to walk through. And we do walk through it daily for many of us. And we meet here and we greet. And I challenge myself every day to find three things of beauty. That is the forgiveness of the soul and the forgiveness of the spirit. But it is also the forgiveness of self and challenging ourselves to find that revenge is not always the way, because revenge stops. It does not have a path. It creates chaos. And as much as you would look around and think, whoever spit that spitball at me in Sunday school is definitely going to get it, you have to think, well, maybe it's not my duty. But it starts as a very small person. People commit real unpleasant things to children. And sometimes we see that they hold this just as we hold our injuries. And forgiveness isn't just about saying, whoever threw that spitball, I'll forgive. It's about, I will forgive myself because I know that the Lord has a fire that's in me, and that the spirit of my church, my congregation, and my love shines to those children, to those teachers, to those communities that have been harmed, and pray that they will heal. Amen.
Amen.
And the last is one of my favorites. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be and there shall no longer be any curb, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bond servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illuminate them, and they shall reign forever and ever. Thank you.